Afternoon. Hope everyone is doing well. Okay, let's start with introductions. I'm Cesar Cadavas. I'm council member and co-chair of this committee. Let's go. What do they call that? Ping pong it. Maria.
Hi, I actually work for DPH HIV Health Services, so I'm not a council member.
Okay. Zachary?
Zachary Davenport, council member.
Welcome. Elaine?
Elaine, council member.
Ron?
Ron Hernandez, council member, committee member.
JP?
John Paul Soto, council member.
Welcome. Beth?
Beth Neary, HIV Health Services, also with DPH.
Great. David?
Hey everybody, David Crown, council staff.
And Kira.
Hi everyone, Kira, council staff.
Okay, welcome everyone. Let's review and approve the August 10th agenda. We have a few things on here, but you have the carry report allocations, some council member business.
I want to mention just one addition under notice of attendance to be sent. We do have an addition there. But besides that, it's what everyone saw, and it's pretty straightforward, just our normal stuff.
I'm sorry, what was the addition again, Kira?
It was under notice of attendance to be sent.
Okay, great, great. Okay, can I approve that by consensus? Wonderful. Next, we have a review and approval of the July 13th draft minutes. Great. Any thoughts or comments? Any edits to the minutes from last month? Great. Can we approve this by consensus also? Great. Thank you. Next on the agenda are announcements. Do we have any announcements? Seeing none, we'll move to public comment. Do we have anybody from the public here? Okay. Next item on the agenda is the carry forward allocation. And we have a Beth Neary.
All right.
And
do you want me to pull that up, Beth?
That would be awesome. Yes. Thank you, Kara.
All right.
So while Kira's pulling that up, I'll share some background of how the process typically works. So the Planning Council has all of the budget authority for how the money is spent across service categories. We're always very careful not to mention particular agencies, which is even more likely to come up in this carry forward discussion. So we're talking still about types of services that we'll fund with this money. So process-wise, the Planning Council, HIV Health Services brings a proposal to the very first subcommittee of the month, which membership didn't meet this month, or the first one didn't meet this month. So we started it earlier this week, recently at Council Affairs. And so Council Affairs has already reviewed this once and has pushed it forward once. So at this point, it's coming from Council Affairs, but the proposal originated with HIV Health Services, and each subcommittee along the way can make amendments or changes to either the amounts of money or the service categories or pretty much anything else. There are some constraints on how we spend this money. It's all money that came from unspent money last year. It could be from administrative savings, or from contractual savings, which means people didn't spend all the money they were budgeted to spend. That is where almost all of this money came from, and it's much larger of an amount this year than it has ever been before. And that's largely because of there were just a lot more vacancies for our like network of services than has usually been the case because of the labor market. So we have now, I'll just start going into the proposal. The unexpended and available carry forward from Part A is $834,390. And a slightly more restricted additional subset, or not subset, additional set of funds is the Part A MAI, which stands for Minority AIDS Initiative, and that's $227,429. Together, these two sources of funds for us to redeploy at this stage is $1,061,819. So any questions first about processors? Does anybody want to provide any more context? And then ultimately, the council will vote and potentially amend again before voting on at the August 28th meeting, the month we're in, the full council meeting this month. Any process questions before we get into specifics of the proposal? Okay. What was proposed and moved forward at the last committee is the first, this is mostly in largest to smallest, except for the last one, which is the MAI. So the first proposal is to spend $350,000 on emergency financial assistance grants. And this is essentially because there are still more needs due to higher cost of living and some ongoing pandemic effects. So having one-time funds to increase the amount of emergency financial grants available to clients will certainly help the clients who otherwise might not be able to receive them this year. And it also helps the agency to slightly relax their maximum standards for special conditions, usually around housing issues. Like if somebody needs first month's, last month's security deposit, that's above a traditional maximum. But if they have a little bit more funding coming in for the year, sometimes they can cover those special circumstances. Any questions about this one? So I'll present them all and then you guys discuss the amounts, but questions about what something's for would be good to do one by one.
Beth, I do have a quick question.
Yes.
So just for clarity, so for this first category, for example, an agency that provides emergency financial assistance grants would request some of this money, or they would be offered some of it as, like, how does, yes. I know you're not going to talk about specific agencies, but.
Yeah, but I can talk about process.
Yeah, how does that happen?
The process from here is like, let's say it goes through all the council and the full council on the 28th, this is approved at this amount. Then next, we at HIV Health Services, you know, submit the same proposal for the funder's approval, which sometimes takes a month, occasionally takes a few months. But as soon as we have the grantor approval to respend this money, then we reach out to one or more providers of the service category. If there's just one, it's the one. If there's more than one, it's more than one. And we see who has capacity to administer the funds. Some of that we've pre-checked because some of these are large amounts and we have pre-checked capacity in most of these cases, not all. But so we check in again at that point if they still have capacity to do that. And if they do, then we generally would do a contract amendment, which takes another month or longer, but we have to add it to contracts that already exist due to time constraints of the carry forward. So there's no world in which we could start a new contract on this timeline. So it definitely goes to existing providers and those who have the capacity. And then we just have them amend their budget to be, we either do a separate appendix for 350,000 or this money is, I think, in the same place on DPH's budget. So we could just add 350,000 to the same budget, I think, but one of those two things. And then they just are aware as soon as we get HRSA approval, like even in that month it takes, they usually start spending more money, you know, before they get the fund. They don't have to spend more money, but they usually know that their rate of spend can increase a little bit. So you don't like, they're not hiring new staff under this or anything like that. They're aware that they don't need to make their other YMI Part A money last through February 29th this year.
That's what I was going to say. I think it has to be spent by February 29th. So 2024.
Yeah. Everything on this proposal has to be spent by February 29th or we lose it. There's no additional time way to spend it. Like you only have one shot at carry forward.
Spending. Okay. Thank you. That's super helpful.
Yeah. Thanks. Any more questions on this one or the process? Okay, I'll keep going, but interrupt at any time. The next proposal is food. And this one is substantially similar in reasoning that higher cost of living drives to more people needing food services. And that has to do with cost of living as well as some COVID-19 effects still. More people got food delivery at that time and got in that habit. And I think it's been a real, real important benefit to a lot of people. We think they can expend or providers. We do have more than one food provider. So it could theoretically go to either or both, depending on capacity. $314,390 is proposed at this time. Any questions on this one? Okay. The next one is something we did last year. It was on our carry, well, actually food wasn't last year, but it's on most year. And EFA, we definitely did last year. But this next one is a pilot we started for the first time last year. Last year, we did it at an amount of $30,000. And this is a technology to support hybrid psychosocial support groups and telehealth for mental health services. And this grew out of a lot of the discussions and needs assessments and COLA activities where technological barriers and like quality of support groups and mental health groups, especially once they tried to go hybrid, if they tried to go hybrid, was just really like the in-person and not in-person people weren't on equal footing. Like, for example, in this meeting, we're all remote and that works pretty well. But once you start blending, you actually need pretty good technology for that to go smoothly. So with the $30,000 last year, we, due to timing of contractual stuff, we concentrated all on one agency and they spent, you know, the $30,000 on technology to outfit, I believe, two conference rooms to do this work. And they found some of the stuff particularly helpful. So I can give more details on that. Not everything was equally helpful so far, but they, you know, they've only had it for a few months. So I'm sure it'll all ultimately be helpful. But we're proposing to expand that to go to more psychosocial and more mental health providers, since we think it was a benefit to that one agency. And that is, it's also a very specifically one-time thing where you buy the stuff once, and I mean, eventually it breaks, but you know, it's not something you need on an annual budget. So it's it relates to, you know, the time we're in and that we're still transitioning to post-COVID and like new service delivery models. And we haven't been super specific about how the 120 would be dispersed across agencies. We think it would be 4 to 6 people each getting about $15,000 to $30,000. Different agencies have different starting points, like number of conference rooms where they hold these types of groups. And also some have already bought some of the technology and may not need it. And we've talked to some programs, but not, you know, not 4 to 6. So we've done some diligence, but not, you know, not a ton. So we don't know, but the council could give us greater direction on how they'd like this divided, of course, too. Any questions on this one? Okay, Kira, could we go to the next page? Thank you very much. So this one is $30,000 for a one-time website redesign and online resource guide updates. So I think you've probably heard that we've been working on updating the HIV Health Services website for now quite a few months. So we've already started this project, but the enhancement of the extra money would be to do a better job of the online resource guide. The old website had essentially like pictures of like PDFs of the resource guide available that you would flip to between. And it is certainly useful, and especially if you're on a computer, but less useful if you're on a mobile phone or an Apple or some different things. It doesn't work well for everybody. And just, it's a little more programming work to do the drop-down menus and, you know, make that better. So that and maybe other enhancements is what that money would go to. Any questions on this one? So this would be the San Francisco HIV Health Services website, which is being redesigned, doing that just like a higher quality. Questions on that one? Okay. The last of the regular Ryan White Part A carry forward is a proposal of $20,000 to support legal intern services. And the goal here would be partly to mitigate the possibility of, there's been a lot of changes in housing law, and during COVID there was an eviction moratorium for a long time. And just as some of that is unwinding locally, like essentially the legal services would have the support of interns to help with doing extra research, extra client interviews, just sort of expand their capacity in a very short term, several month way with, you know, short term internships that are paid internships, though not a very high rate. It would probably be about 4 or 5 interns for a few months. Any questions on this one? Okay, the last one is client incentive vouchers, and this one specifically from the Minority AIDS Initiative unspent funds. Due to the structure of the Ryan White Part A MAI budget, we only have one provider on there and one type of service, which is medical case management. So we are pretty much restricted to spending this money in something that can be considered medical case management. And since the way we use vouchers in our program is largely to help clients stay connected to care, and usually the medical case managers are the ones giving it out, this is sort of the broadest way we can spend the money with the most restrictions. That amount of money is very close to what we spend annually on the voucher program. depending on the year, we spend very roughly between 200 and 300,000 for, you know, across all of our agencies. So that's a pretty high number. We don't think we need more from like the regular Y and White Part A, but that's what we're recommending spending the MAI unspent funds on. And the types of vouchers that are typically purchased are for grocery stores, drug stores. We do get transportation vouchers, taxi vouchers, which have become more important since the pandemic. We do get muni tokens, though we have enough of those. And we do get farmer's market, and we have enough of those. So it would mostly be grocery, drugstore. There's sometimes fast food, like I'm trying not to say vendor names. There's sometimes like light, relatively healthy fast food options, although some of those locations are leaving downtown San Francisco. So those are less used now. So grocery and drugstores are our main ones, with taxi being a pretty important also. Any questions about these? Okay, then below here, there's just like a little more, I think this may have been sent out. There's just a little bit more narrative, but it's essentially exactly what we said above on the right-hand column, just like a teeny bit more context. But it repeats the same numbers and service categories. So who manages the discussion for this? Is this Cesar? Are you gonna, do you wanna facilitate, or would you like me to like keep asking about questions?
I think you're doing a great job, so okay. Go ahead.
Then I guess my first question is, does anybody object to one of these rows outright? Like, think that's a bad idea. We should reduce it to zero. You know, like start with the most serious objections. Okay, I'll go to the other extreme. Does anybody think?
Sorry, Dan. Okay, I had a question. Go ahead. Regarding item three. Now, yes. We said it was 30,000 last year.
Yes.
But yeah, now we're upping it to 120.
Yeah, we originally hoped to do two agencies at $15,000 last year, but our approval came in so late that there was really only time to modify one contract by the time we implemented it. So we did one at 30,000. And they said it was really, for their scale agency, that it was a little more than they probably needed. Like they bought all the things they thought they needed. And then like 80% of the stuff was incredibly useful. And the other stuff, you know, sometimes directional microphones and certain kinds of cameras are hard to work with. So they found OWLS, you know, the same thing we used at the Planning Council that has a microphone and a video camera that goes directionally towards people, and the TV monitors, you know, at the front of the room where you can show the participants who are not in the room, to be the most important. So I think everybody, ideally, if they're trying to do hybrid groups, would need at least those things. And if you have a bigger room or a room with weird sound things, you sometimes need, like, theoretically, I mean, I know from other work that you need like cameras that can be up to $4,000 for certain conference rooms. And nothing can be over $5,000 individually because of other, that's a different kind of spending for us. Go ahead. Maria's got some ideas.
Oh, and I think also we want to expand it to more agencies. So I think last year, like Beth said, it was only able to be given to one agency to implement, but now with the additional funding, we would be able to offer this to additional agencies that need it.
Yeah, and we plan to approach about six new agencies, not the one who did it last year, and then we expect about four or five of them to say yes, please.
So is this something that's known to work, or are they still working on it? Like, they're still trying to figure out how to do hybrid?
I mean, the reason we started as a pilot last year is because I think we've all had the experience that a lot of times hybrid meetings are pretty awkward and difficult, especially if you're trying to get support going amongst people, like peer support. And so some of the technologies probably would benefit from additional years of development, but there certainly are things that are better than what people start with. So like we can certainly raise them up one level now. I would think that technology will be better in 4 or 5 years for this, I would hope. So maybe we'd want to think about this again, you know, in 4 or 5 years or when technology is improved again.
I'm just hoping that we're not playing catch up where we're funding these technologies that become obsolete even before we use them.
Yeah.
That's a very fair point. Like I honestly think in some cases, for some meetings that I do, I like to fall back on the telephones that go in the middle, like the, you know, conference phones, like the sound quality tends to be better with those. And not that people couldn't spend it on that. Some of the cameras leave some things to be desired, and some of the microphones leave some things to be desired. So the other piece is having multiple agencies do things. We can ask them for a report back about what has worked well and what has worked poorly to help. And so we could share information with the network and say, you know, these things have been tested in these types of environments. But I don't think every dollar in there is going to end up being making every meeting perfect. I think there's going to be some trial and error because of the state of technology right now. So if you think we should scale back and do more piloting for like to zero or 30,000 or 60,000, you know, in this year with current technology we could procure, that would certainly be a reasonable thing. And we don't know that we'll have the same amount of unspent in future years. Like, we hope it'll go down again. It's kind of important that it goes down again eventually. But the playbook hasn't changed much.
Do you know how these agencies are responding to it? Are they looking for it? Or is it just something that they opt to just to...
Right.
Just to try it out? Or is it something they already really need and they know it'll be helpful to them?
So last year, I remember we approached at least two agencies. One didn't really get back to us. It's a larger agency. So I think that they had already done what they could, or their system would have taken longer than the like 3 to 4 months you have for carry forward to make these kinds of procurement things. Some like our DPH, it takes us a long time to buy stuff sometimes. And so some other large systems have the same problem. The other agency that was smaller was immediately thrilled. And this year, like in our checking, if anybody was interested, I know Bill reached out to, I think more than one. One wrote back and then they like, you know, looped in their technology people and they thought about it really seriously. And then they said, yeah, actually, this would be really great. And then they asked what the process is. And I said, like, how long for approvals and things like that before we know for sure. And then they're like, oh, we could send you our list. And they had like a $20,000 list, even though we had said probably around 15,000 of like things that they had really thought through already. So I think it's probably about 50-50 of the agencies will really want it right away and will, you know, have the capacity to plan and procure. And some will have to say no just because administrative, you know, burden, and they won't have time to do it as well.
During the pilot, how many agencies used the 30,000? One or two?
Just one. But due to time, we really could only implement this about the first week of January. So there weren't many agencies who could turn that around so quickly, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So then that's my other, well, my other question is, which of these amounts do you think should be moved up or down? So it sounds like this 120 may need to go up or down or be considered. Does anybody want to propose a change at this time? That like conversationally, I think there's an official process for changes. But does anybody recommend increasing or decreasing any of these lines? And just a reminder, because it's emergency financial assistance, food, like improving technology for psychosocial and mental health groups. Vouchers are a separate thing a little bit. Oh, thank you. $30,000 for website redesign and $20,000 for legal services intern, semi-related to housing, but they could work on other things. Okay, the new question, is there anything not appearing here that is an idea that you have based on either your work or your experiences with the system or the COLAs or the needs assessment, like an unmet need that you think we could do on a short-term, like several month basis, either a pilot. We can't hire staff in that amount of time, nor can contractors, but if there's like a material and supply need or, you know, something similar to these types of ideas that you would like to propose. And you can also think about it further. You can come to any of the committee members' meetings between now and full council and make proposals. I know this is a lot to consider very suddenly. Okay. Oh, I guess I will throw it back to committee leadership to decide if you guys want to like move and second in those things.
All right, yeah. So not hearing much discussion now, then we will, this is already a motion on the floor. So all I will do is do a roll call. And then you can either say yes to approve it, and then it'll move forward and it'll move to the PLWH work group. And then you'll later see it, we'll all see it at full council. Or you could say that you don't approve it or abstain, and that'll be get noted. So I'll go ahead and start. So Caesar.
Yes.
Okay, Elaine.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes.
Zachary.
Yes.
And JP Soto. I don't know if JP's still with us.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I don't think I missed anyone, so I'll go ahead and stop sharing. And all right. So this motion, and technically, I forgot to mention this actually. Technically, since we aren't meeting in person, this is just a recommended motion that once we get it gets to full council, then we'll able to be officially voted on.
May I ask if it also goes to steering?
It does go to steering. So it'll move from PLWH work group to steering and then finally to full council.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, I'll hand it back to you, Cesar.
Great, thank you. Thank you for that, Beth. And thanks for all the work being done on this. Okay, and thanks for everybody with your questions. So next item on the agenda is a council member attendance report.
Oops, sorry. Yeah, so we just have the addition that I mentioned earlier was just the notice of attendance to be sent. So this is just informing everyone that there will be a notice of attendance that will be sent to Helen Lynn, just for being out of compliance with our attendance policy. And then we still do have a current leave of absence, which is Miss Billy Cooper, who is on a medical LOA. And we don't actually have the exit interview from David Gonzalez to review. We've been in contact with David and hopefully we'll keep circling back to him to see if he'll be able to give that to us. But until then, we'll just hold off and hope. And I can go ahead and move. And that'll bring us to the end of that portion. And I can go ahead and go over the demographic update.
Great, thank you.
So let me share that. All right, so here is the EPI update from the demographic update from August. So we did have one change, which will be noted, which you'll more clearly see in the Aries one, but there was one change since we did have a new member join us officially during last month's full council. We have a total of 26 HCPC members instead of 25. So that we had one member join us last month, and then now we have one this month. So that's brought us, before it was 24, last month it was 25, and now it's 26. That's the one big change. We are still down and under in our more target areas, which was Latino, Latina, Hispanic, as well as it was Black, African-American, and youth. Those were our three target areas. And we'll discuss that a little bit more in terms of recruitment during that portion. But yeah, so any questions about this one specifically? I don't hear anyone. So I'll go ahead and share our other one. All right. And this is the Aries demographic update. And so down here, you'll see that our total membership is 26. And then we did have an increase of one for a total HIV positive from 10 to 11. And same information, we still have our target areas, which we're under, but trying to recruit. Any questions about this one? No? Okay. I'll go ahead and stop sharing. And then I think that brings us to council recruitment. All right, so for council recruitment, we do have just one update. In terms of our needs assessment, we have a needs assessment focus group scheduled for later this month. I think it's towards the end of the month, but that is a Spanish speaking only group. So originally our idea was to have council members come and join the beginning of our focus groups in order to give kind of a spiel about what the Planning Council is, and then as well as try to recruit folks and gauge kind of interest about that for new membership. But because this specific focus group at the end of the month is Spanish speaking only, or predominantly Spanish speaking, we talked about it and we decided we're not going to have a council member come to this one, just because we don't want to give the impression that translation services or that the meetings will be in Spanish, since most of the folks that will be in this focus group are monolingual. So yeah, any questions about that? Or any discussion about that?
Good call. Makes sense.
Okay. And we do, once we get that focus group kind of done with, we'll go ahead and gauge how many members or how many participants actually came to that focus group. And that'll help us move forward to see if we need to do more outreach and what other agencies we will be able to contact. And hopefully we will have, we are planning to do a couple more focus groups, but one of them will hopefully be in this same target area, and we'll have hopefully be able to have a council member come and do that recruitment strategy with us. So yeah.
Great. Can I have a question? How are the recruitments for focus groups? How is that being strategized or planned out?
Yeah, so we had a couple months back, we had during this specific agenda item in this committee, we had a discussion around this strategy. So we decided as a group that we would have during, it would kind of be like killing two birds with one stone. So we would, as we conduct COLAs and needs assessment, we'd have our council members that are in this group go ahead. We'd have like one council member come with us and do a whole spiel about what the committees are, what we are, to hopefully recruit members and kind of gauge interest. And that is in conjunction with the needs assessment and COLAs, because we decided in that group that we'd be focusing those like focus groups would be our target area. So that would be Latinx, Latina, Black and African-American, and youth. So those would be like our three target areas that we're trying to hit, both in membership and as well as our focus groups for the COLAs and the needs assessment.
Great.
Does that make sense? I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's good.
All right.
Great. Any other thoughts, questions on the recruitment strategies and activities? Great. Well, thank you, council staff, for coordinating that. The next item on the agenda is the next meeting date. There's nothing else on the agenda? Is this it?
Okay. Pretty straightforward.
Okay. Y'all are pretty efficient today. Thank you. The next meeting date is Thursday, September 14th via Zoom. Okay. Do we call for adjournment? How do we do that? I forget. Anybody move to adjourn, or you want to hang out, or? Okay. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thanks for watching.
Good job, you guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, nice everyone. You. Thanks, staff. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi.